Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
It's good stuff. Well, keep clapping. Londa's going to come up and she's going to share her heart with you tonight. Very thankful for who she is. And as she comes, I just have an announcement to let you know. Every year, around December, we take a break from the meeting place. We've done that just about every year. And so tonight is going to be our last Tuesday night till January. We'll start the prophetic back again in January. And so this will be the last Tuesday until January. So keep praying and keep believing. And we've done this every year to take a little bit of a break and a little bit of a time off. But we're not really taking time off, if you know what I mean. It's just a restful time. So make sure you know that, and definitely get on our website, and you can see all the information of what we're doing. So let's pray for Londa right now and ask for the Lord to just use her tonight. Lord, we thank you for our sister whose desire is to fix her eyes upon you. I thank you for what you've done in her life and how you've used her in so many ways. And so, Lord, pour through your servant who says yes to you. And may our ears be open and our hearts open to hear and to receive what you have to say to us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was some good worship. That song that had a bunch of oohs in it. I just saw the angels. They liked that song. Angels in heaven were just kind of in a circle dancing around. I wanted to be up there and join them. But they were joining us. You know, they love when we worship. The worship draws the attention of heaven. And we're created for that worship, to worship our God, who we are one with. I want to go back to that scripture that Bob read earlier in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, and this is talking about in chapter 11, it's talking about all the witnesses that have gone on before us, like Moses and Abraham and others that walked in great faith, and for faith for that which they did not see. And so now it's saying, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. I want to focus on laying aside every encumbrance which so easily entangles us, the sin that keeps us from running this race. Each of us have a race. We're all running a similar race. We all want to get to the end in victory and be with Jesus and run this race with strength. It's not an easy race. It's easier not to be a Christian. If you haven't noticed that, you're missing something. It's easier not to be a Christian. You get to do what you want to do when you want to do it, and who cares, you know. But to be a Christian, the enemy is going to be after us, trying to trip us, trying to set snares and entangle us, because he doesn't want us to run this race in victory. And so we need to be wise to the schemes of the enemy. And it says that the sin which so easily entangles us, our flesh is easily distracted. We are easily entangled. We have a tendency to trip pretty easy when we first start out the race, And as we learn to run, as we learn to be strong in the Lord, as we learn that He is faithful, as we start to trust Him more and more, as we learn to lean into His wisdom and those kinds of things, the race is actually a path to make us grow. It's God has intentionality towards our relationship with Him, and our path, each of our paths is to make us grow. Lord's not the one that puts the bad things in your path, but they are there. We do have the enemy, and they want to trip you. But however, the enemy's ability to trip you is minuscule compared to God's ability to keep you strong and running. We spend so much time looking at our struggle, looking at our worries, our fears, our cares, our trials and tribulations. We stare at them and we're going, oh God, you know. We look at them and we get discouraged and we're, God, you know, aren't you going to do something? And the more we focus on them, the bigger they get. And instead of going, looking up and into the eyes of Papa and going, oh God, you know, once He gets your gaze, He doesn't easily let go. But He's going to train you how to stay focused. He wants you to focus on Him, because when you're focused on the Lord, when you're gazing into His eyes, when you're fixed on Jesus, because He's our forerunner. Jesus, He showed us how to run this race in victory. He modeled relationship with God. He showed us everything that we need to know. And everything that He did as a man. So that means we can do it. We can do it. And He even said, you'll do even greater things than I did. So He set the pace. And it's easy for us to keep on the pace as long as our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Your trials are not meant to destroy you. They're meant to grow you. And you choose. You empower what you believe. If you believe that the enemy if you believe, you know, we get caught up in fear and anger and frustration and hopelessness. We start worrying. We get frustrated. We get feeling hopeless, like things are never going to change. All that negativity is stinking thinking. And smell, you know, travels a long way. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Where is it? That garbage dump over there? It is awful. I hate that. And we have to pass it to get to church. And but it travels for several miles away from it. And we do the same thing. When we have stinking thinking, it goes wherever we go. You can't get away from the smell. And where, you know, your stuff goes with you. And so, but you're empowering it. And when you empower it, you are empowering your atmosphere around you. You begin to affect, we feel what's on, a lot of us are feelers. I'm not so much. Thank you, Jesus. But it's a wonderful gift. But if you have that gift of feeling, you're going to feel what other people are feeling. And even people like me that don't have that so heavy, I sense that sometimes. If it's strong enough, I'll sense it. And it affects the atmosphere. If you bring that home with you, you've just set your house to set thinking like a garbage dump. You know, is that what you want to live in? No. That's not what you want to live in. You're not meant for a garbage dump. You're meant for the fragrance of heaven. We want to smell the clarity, the sweet, fresh aroma of heaven. So in the trial, instead of thinking that negativity, it truly is, You are created in the image of God. You have the full-blown Holy Spirit in you. You are powerful. Your words have power. They have life to them. When God says a word, it's done. He creates life by his words. We do the same thing. When we speak blessing, we're giving life. When we speak cursing, we're spewing death. One or the other. You choose what your environment's going to be like. What do you want to do to the people around you? Do you want to be a blessing to them? Or do you want them to run and get away from the stink when you're around? You know? We're made in Christ. He's our forerunner. He's our brother. He's our friend. He's our everything. And he gives us a direct passage to Father. We have direct access to the throne room because of Jesus Christ. The more time we spend in the throne room, the more time we spend gazing on Father's eyes, Jesus' eyes, the more time we spend surrounded by the Holy Spirit and communing with him and learning how to lean into him and to give into him. And you know, it changes the way you think. And you begin empowering your atmosphere and yourself by kingdom thinking. It's not the power of positive thinking, although there's some truth to that. It's kingdom thinking. When we think the truth, the word of God is truth, and when we think it, when we believe it, then we've just empowered it, and we've disempowered the enemy. He is easily, you know, you turn on a light switch in a dark room, and the dark goes instantly. It's truly like that in the kingdom. The enemy has to go the minute you flip that switch. And so, but the more you embrace that negativity, that condemnation, that irritability, all that negativity in your life, the I can'ts, I won'ts, I, you know, it's like a cesspool. So we want to learn how to empower and stand strong in the truth of who Jesus is. You know, when we were singing that song about the chains, I saw people with chains around your ankles or around your wrists or even like a thing over your mouth or over your ears. There's bondage. The bondage can't stay there unless you agree with it. It's that simple. It's not on a conscious level. Consciously, we don't want the bondage. I mean, there's nobody in here that would say, I really love being in bondage, you know. It's so much fun. We never say that because there's a part of us that knows, our conscious self knows it's not fun. But subconsciously, you have a whole other set of beliefs. And there's reasons that we agree with the bondage, but mostly it's because we don't know who we are. It's mostly because we don't know who we are. You are precious in Papa's eyes. He cares about you. I wasn't going to share this, but it started with a thing I was giving to the Lord. The spirit of religion was an old friend of mine. And I thought I was raised pretty conservatively and it felt safe. And it's been hard for me to let that go. Hard. A lot of theophostic, a lot of mind renewal to let that go. And it felt safe. So the other day, there was still a little connection that I found. And I just went to the altar in front of Jesus. And I laid it up there, and it looked like a pretty little cage. It was silver, and looked like a little bird, square bird cage. And it was dainty, and it was on a little keychain. And I set it on his altar. And I said, Lord, this feels safe to me because I can look out. I can reach out through the cage and touch people and pray for them. And I can do everything in this cage. I can see everything, but it keeps me safe. Or I said, but I want to know what it looks like to you. And so he showed me what it looks like to him. And it turned, all of a sudden, the cage turned black, and it started getting thorns on it, and it started twisting. And he said, Londa, the spirit of religion twists the truth, and it's not safe at all. And as soon as he did that, I was able to let that go. And then I ran outside to play with Jesus. And I was a little girl, and he threw me up in the air. And only this time he threw me really high. And this big eagle came and grabbed me. And I was sitting in the talons. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I've been with her before. And I was sitting in her talons, and she took off, and I could feel the strength of her. And I'm holding on to her talons, looking out, and the Lord said to me, This is safety. This is safety. I have you, and I'll take you wherever I go. That is safety. You're free. And you're going high. So we did. We flew way up high. And we landed. I could see heaven, the clouds, the beauty of the city. And she flew me straight into the throne room. And I jumped out of her talons, and I ran to Jesus. He was sitting right next to Papa, and I ran to him and gave him a big hug. And then Papa grabbed me, and he set me on his lap, and I was sitting Indian style in front of him. And he put his hands around my head, and I knew what he wanted right away. He wanted to hold my gaze. He wants to hold your gaze. He wants you to look deep into his eyes and hold it. When we hold that, we're not distracted. We're not ever looking to the right or left to see what somebody else is doing or saying. We're not worried about getting our next comfort, or we're not worried about things we shouldn't be worried about. We're not worried about the struggles around us, or we're not all the negative things that are going on in our minds, where we can let that go because we're so fixed on Father's eyes. And as I gazed into his eyes, they're like, they have a depth to them. I mean, I could feel myself being drawn into them, and there's this depth that he truly is Ancient of Days. His eyes are ancient. Ancient wisdom, ancient faithfulness, ancient love, and it's past, present, and future. I mean, you can see that he's all knowing. There's such a feeling of completeness and identity as I stare into his eyes. I know who I am. He wants to hold your gaze, so that you know who you are. He wants you to know who. It's imperative. If you're going to run this race without the encumbrances, he wants you to know who you are. You're his daughter. You're his son. He's passionate for you. He created you. Created you out of perfect love. Perfect, I mean, craving. The craving in him is intense. He craves your presence. He craves your love because he loves you first. He desires you far more than you desire him. But you know what? Our little bit of desire that we give him, it just melts him. He's fascinated with it. He wants, it's like I feel such a longing and a yearning from his heart to embrace you like that. And then I saw the cross, and I saw the cross is a hard place. I saw Jesus on the cross, but before I didn't see, I wouldn't let him show me. I'm a hard case sometimes. I wouldn't let him show me what happened up to the cross, but I felt it. I felt not the pain of it, but I felt like when the whips were beating the Lord, I felt the weight, the thud of it on his body. I felt what he was feeling. And you know what he was? He's like, there really was joy in his heart, because he's like, if I do this, they'll have direct access to Father. The chains don't have to be there anymore. They'll be free to love. They'll be free to experience Father the way I've experienced him, know him the way I know him. And so there really was joy with each whip, each pain that he suffered, each sin that he felt, each pain, each sickness, each sorrow. All of it was dumped on him, past, present, future. He did that with the strength of the Lord. It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy set before him allowed him to endure the cross. So that you and I don't have to be in chains. We can be totally, completely free. Totally, 100%. The cross is a complete work. Nothing lacking, nothing undone. But truly, the battle is in our minds, and we need to learn how to let go of those negative. Let go of them. We need to come out of agreement. We need to learn how to say no to the enemy. When negative thoughts start coming up, and worries and fears and offense and anger, those things we have to let them go. God, I go to the altar a lot, and I'm like, Lord, I choose to come out of agreement with anger. I choose to come out of agreement with offense. I choose to come out with the belief that I'm weary or tired of fighting. You know, I choose, and I choose to come into agreement with who you say that I am, because no one knows better than Papa. He knows who you are, and he wants you to know who you are. It's amazing. In Hebrews 8, I'm in Romans 8, sorry. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus condemned sin while he was in the flesh. You know, we often think, oh, that wasn't so hard for him because he was God. But he did it in the flesh as a man. So that I also felt Father the minute Jesus died. I felt Father's hands come down and the emotion with which he ripped the veil in two. The veil that was in the temple was very, very thick, heavy cloth. I think it was something like six inches thick or something. And it ripped in two. And it was the passion of God's love that did that. It's like now they have access to me. And there's not one thing that the cross left out. Not one thing. When Jesus rose from the cross, it was a finished, complete work. It says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So that's, if you're according to the flesh, you're going to be grouchy, mad, angry. You're going to be lust. You're going to be sinning. You're going to be craving things you shouldn't crave. You're going to do all those things that you don't want to do. But it says that those who set their minds on the Spirit, according to the Spirit, are and the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. However, you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And get this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So even our bodies, he cares about, and he'll give life because it's his temple. He cares about his temple. Be careful what you empower, because the enemy's serious, but God is also serious. We sometimes think of life as a game, or we sometimes it feels good to have a pity party, or sometimes it feels good to just spew anger and just let all that stink out, you know? But you have to consider what you're empowering, because the spirit realm is watching. And when you're empowering the Holy Spirit, the angels gather around you and want to help you. They want to be around you, and they want to serve you and help you and help you empower your atmosphere. You're very powerful. You need to know it. Michael, you want to come on up? And I feel like there's, if you all want to stand, we're going to start ministry time. And I feel like there's somebody here with a shoulder problem. I got the healing team is kind of scattered around. And if you have your shoulder is in pain or hurting, or you have a rotator cuff or whatever that is, if you just raise your hand. So I want the healing team and other people around you. This is going to be ministry time for everybody. There's some back there. Back there. There's a man there. So everybody, make sure some, and if you're, it doesn't matter if you're on the team, turn around and touch that person. So gather around them. Anybody that's got their hand up. Okay. So we're going to pray for them. And the way you pray for them is with confidence, because we believe in Jehovah Rapha, and he's already paid for this on the cross. So you touch that shoulder and you say, in Jesus' name, we command healing. Command everything to reconnect in peace. All the tissues, all swelling has to go. Mm-hmm. inflammation has to go, pain has to go. And give in to just feeling the Lord there. Give in to feeling His touch. Believe that He has healing for you. When you get done praying for them, ask them to move it. Be bold. Say, hey, move it around. See what happened. Did you feel anything? Anybody get healing? Anybody, is it better? Somebody, some of them's working it there. If it doesn't get healed the first time, pray for it again. Don't be shy. You got to be bold when you step out and praying for healing. But you want to make sure that whatever happens, the person gets blessed. Excuse me. You have to remember that your words carry power. Power of life are in your words. And when you bless somebody, they're blessed. When you speak healing, something's happening. You get healed? Yeah? Awesome. You want to come up here and tell us about it? Anybody else get healing? Or did something happen?
This has actually had it for a couple of days. I was telling some of my brothers before, I had a little tweak in my arm and my shoulder from doing push-ups, but I had faith in God that He was going to heal me, and I didn't know when, but, you know, I left it up, and, it's kind of weird, just out of, He answered my prayers, He knew, and He just took it away, my tweak's already gone, and it, you know, it feels back to normal, you know, thank God.
Awesome. Good job. Anybody else receive any better, just even improvement? Yeah? Awesome. God is good. Okay, the next thing I see is lower back. Anybody have any lower back issues? Right here? And there? And there? Okay, come on out, Debbie, where people can get to you. Healing team and other people. Carmel, you have back problems? I need somebody up here. Everybody covered? Raise your hand high if you got back issues. There's one. This girl needs some covering. Everybody have somebody? Okay. When you're touching somebody's back, if you're a guy, ask permission. If it's a girl, ask permission. If it's a girl and you're touching a guy, ask permission. But usually the back is fair game. You know, we're pretty safe unless you get too low. But like to the middle up, you're good. So just touch that back and just believe. And just say, in Jesus' name, I release power. I release the power to heal. Thank you, Jesus. Command pain to go. Inflammation has to go. Healing has to happen. If they've been in an accident, you can ask them, is this from an accident? If it is, you just break off trauma off of them, because bodies will hold trauma, the memory of trauma. You want to break that off. So you break that off. Be bold about it. Don't be shy. Make sure you bless them. And just believe it. Holy Spirit loves this. He loves it. You know, Jesus healed every single person that came to Him for healing. Lord, He knew how to do it because He believed in Father's heart for healing. Ask her how it feels. How's it feel? Better? And warm? When somebody tells you that it feels warm, that means that they're feeling the Holy Spirit in that place. They're actually feeling the healing power. So it feels a lot better? Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Always thank the Lord for healing. It's Him. It's Jesus. He paid a dear price for it. And I'll just grateful. Anybody else get healed? Yeah? Come here and tell us about it. Pick on the one that's most shy.
No, the Lord just totally brought heat to my body, and I just sensed Him just totally moving in and just aligning everything and just making me straight and just making me, He's working on and relieving the pain, so that's awesome.
That's a miracle. You know, every time somebody gets healed, it's a miracle. And you just witnessed the power of God right there in every person that's getting touched. Anybody else get healed or get better improvement? Even we'll take improvement. Hey, it's better than being stuck, you know? A warm massage. That's good. That's good. Okay, the other thing I'm seeing is like stomach issues. Like, I don't know if it's digestion or anything in your abdomen. Acid reflux, anything like that. Anybody have that kind of thing going on? Okay, guys, grab them. Get around these guys. Hold your hands high. Healing team. Get your hands up high. Up here, Steve. Anybody else? Okay, now if you're a guy, it's, you know, tummy area is okay. If you're a girl touching a guy, just have him put his hand over it first, and you can touch him. Everybody that has stomach issues, have somebody to touch that's touching you and praying for you. Sometimes with stomach issues, I often just pray peace over that area. Just command peace to come, just to release the peace of God into that area. Command their bodies to receive healing, to be blessed in Jesus' name. A serious condition, you know, that's not any bigger problem than a cold. For God, Jesus already paid for it. It's already done, and it's like nothing for Him. So don't let anything intimidate you. If somebody says they have stomach cancer, big whooping deal. God heals that in a minute. You know, it's not an issue. Don't ever be impressed by somebody's affliction. We're impressed by the power of God to heal. The goodness of God. Did you get healed? Did you feel something happening? Pain-free. Woohoo! That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I want, if you have emotional things that you'd like prayed for, if you feel like you're in bondage of some sort, I'd like you to come forward. If you have whatever it is, depression, anger, hopelessness, fears, worries. If you have the other physical issues, just come forward. Other ones that I did not name, you can come on forward. We're just going to pray for you. Like the healing team to work your way up here. Any of the pastors that are open to praying. If you have any spiritual, if you feel like you have some spiritual things going on that you're not happy with, if you want breakthrough, just come on up. And if I did not call out a physical problem that you have, go ahead and come on up. We just release everybody else that we thank you for coming out. We'll see you in January. But if you want to hang around a little bit and be ministered to, we'll be happy to do that.